to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Better than the Australians.
I'm from South Central, girl. I know how to roll my R's. Brain, look at who we have here. We got a guest in the house, okay? A superstar, yes, all the way from Melbourne, Australia, Myra Ridda. We are going to be talking about some fun stuff. And I'm trying to figure out exactly what this woman does because she is so textured. She is so multi-layered. Are you kidding me? She used to do event planning. But once you've been an event planner, Brains, you're always an event planner. I've got to tell you where you were. You're on the edge. On your home. But now she's doing pop-up shops. Now, here in the U.S., we call pop-up shops, you know, an art event, wines, clothing. They call it Sunday markets, but they also do it for marketing there in Australia. So I want to see a little bit about and hear a little bit about how that works. This woman has traveled the world and some of the far-reaching, most exotic places. I mean, look at us. We came adorned in our jewelry. She has all of the information on Cleopatra and the Unks and things from Egypt. We have so much to talk about. And now she's living in Australia, but she's on the edge. So thank you so much, Myra, for being here with me. Please tell my Brains a little bit about you, as if I haven't told them everything.
Hello, thank you so much, April, for having me on your show.
Absolutely.
It's so great to be here. And so really, I am an Egyptian woman who migrated to Australia in 2003. And have made Australia home for the past 17 plus years. I grew up in the Middle East and Cairo, and I've lived in Australia the longest out of everything else I've lived. And it's been an amazing journey of self-discovery, of reflection, of going through ups and downs in business, in motherhood. And yeah, my voice keeps breaking up a bit. So
no, you're good. You're good. You're perfect.
I have to remember to hydrate. So I do have your beautiful cup here.
Well, thank you so much. Cheers. Here's to you. Absolutely.
Cheers. I have it full of coffee.
I want a little libation. I didn't want no coffee.
We're in the morning in Australia. So
it's cocktail hour here in the United States. Okay. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Actually, it's 5:13. So we're right on time. You know, what I really want to start with is culture, okay? Because you are, you know, closer to me than you are, and the Aborigines than you are to the, you know, Australian, white Australian. What was it like moving from Cairo or Egypt or Africa to Australia? Was it a culture shock?
So that's a question I get asked, and I reflect on a lot because I moved from Cairo, the capital of Egypt, to Canberra, the capital of Australia. However, Canberra is a small city, and for me, the culture shock came also not with culture, but also with the size, the difference in size of the cities, and the way that people actually, you know, that Cairo is the city that never sleeps. It's kind of similar to New York in a way, and Canberra is very it's very government oriented, and everything is very clean, very tidy. Everyone goes to bed at the same time, kind of. And it was a culture shock on that aspect, moving from a big city to a small city and not knowing anyone. I did move with my partner. I moved for him, and lucky guy, because I had no idea what I was up for. I basically signed up my life away. I'm like, yeah, let's do this.
You got to take a chance, and you might as well gamble on love at least one time, is what I say.
Yes. And so I remember my early days in Canberra were quite lonely because my husband was working full time, long hours. I was trying to break into the Australian market. I came with my accounting degree that was fully certified and approved by the Australian migration process. And so here I was saying, hello, I speak English. I used to work in an American school, so I had this bit of an American accent, which didn't leave me till today, I think. And I was going into all these interviews and really wanting just an opportunity to be included within the community. That took a long time. That was the journey in itself. And it taught me a lot.
But there's not a lot of, are there a lot of Egyptians there in Australia?
The majority of Egyptians in Australia would be in Sydney, in Melbourne, some in Brisbane, and then Perth. Canberra is a very small community, and mainly the Egyptians in Canberra would all be in the Coptic community, which is the Coptic church that they have, so they have their own community. I am an Egyptian Muslim, so I kind of found myself not there, not here. I don't really know where I belong.
Right. He was trying to find the East. That's yes, wonderful, though. Okay, so now you have been able to pivot. Not only have you moved from, country, and you've learned to acculturate and assimilate there in Australia, but you're now a businesswoman, and you created events. Now, we're very colorful. And I say we because, look at us, okay? But and I just see this from my experience and my visit to Australia, they're a little bit more conservative. How do you get them to come over to the wild side when you are creating an event for them or when you were creating events?
Yes, I started my first business, my events business in Canberra. And yes, I did add a lot of color. I love color till today. And it was very evident when I created an event that, this was different. And so people straight away thought, oh, she is high end. This is too expensive. I can't afford this. I really want simple. I was always dealing with clients that wanted simple. No fuss, simple.
Right,
but I'm like,
right.
But when they tasted what I could do and, they could see the detail I put through every event, they became raving fans.
Oh, I can imagine, because not only do you put a little color into it, but you put, you think about the person. When you're creating an event, there's so much to consider, not just location and food, but the atmosphere and the music and the guest list and how they're going to be seated and all that. So how do you incorporate that into your current business? Because you just launched a brand new business in February. You are doing too much, girl.
Yes. So my passion for events remains. It's part of who I am, gathering people, connecting people. However, this time I'm doing it in a different way. So with New Life by Design, because I created the New Life by Design, I want to help others going through transition create their own new life by design. And sometimes that's through actually a wardrobe makeover, because some people's life have changed post-COVID. They're finding themselves working more from home. So then your wardrobe needs a makeover. Maybe it's your space that needs a makeover. Maybe it's your mindset. Don't underestimate the power of changing the way you think.
Right.
When we change the way we think, we improve dramatically.
So you're working, from apples to oranges when it comes to helping people redesign that. What is your ideal client?
My ideal client is someone who feels stuck. They're going through change, but they don't know what the next step is. And so together we work to find out what their passions are, find out what their why is, actually make them rediscover themselves. Because a lot of people have forgotten who they really are, myself included at a time. I actually removed my Egyptian identity to try and fit in to the Australian community. And it's actually when I started embracing who I really was that I actually know who I am, you know, and started doing all these amazing things.
Well, that's when you find appreciation for yourself. And also, again, it's different because a lot of times people want others that visit their country to acculturate. Don't assimilate. Assimilate. We want you to do how we do it. You know, we don't want any kerfuffle. We don't want any problems. But then there comes people that say, hey, you know what? Let me embrace you. Let me show you what I have. You know, let me lay out a table before you and let's feast together. And we're talking about a spiritual feast. We're talking about a business feast. We're talking about a sister feast. Have you made a lot of friends there now?
So yes, this part in Canberra, when I started my events business, I was trying to connect with the Canberra community. And guess what? I did that. And I have so many friends that I miss because now I live in Melbourne. And Canberra now is my second home. Like, you know, I have Cairo as a home, I have Canberra as a home, I have Melbourne as a home. And so it's really beautiful, the connections you make and the longtime friendships you have when you actually really just be who you are and share with the world what you do and how you can help others. Your tribe basically comes to you. And you start creating a community, and this community is your cheerleaders, the ones that keep pushing you forward.
Absolutely. So what do you do for recreation and fun? You know, you have a little bit more liberty there than we do here in the United States. We're still, you know, slowly coming out of lockdown, and you guys have done a great job at really kind of keeping your citizens informed with COVID and vaccinating or not vaccinating and working and all that. So what have you been doing to fill your time this last year? Girl, it's been a year. Great.
Yes, it's been a year. So lockdown, I'm in Melbourne, so we've had the most lockdowns in Australia. And so for me, during lockdown, I used to go for walks in nature and especially close to beach. I'm a coastal girl, so water really soothes me. And also, you know, it really helps with your mood. But for recreation, now that things are open, well, I'm either working or going, looking after myself in different ways. I do yoga. I do love yoga. Yoga is really good to quieten the mind and recenter you. But that's not all I do. I love to sing. So I make sure I sing every day. I do, like, you know, karaoke, and I sing in my mother tongue because I just miss singing in Arabic. You know, if I don't sing in Arabic at home, where am I going to sing in Arabic? I'm still figuring that out, though, because there might be something.
You know, me and my husband are always enamored by, like, the Japanese culture. We went to Japan. Girl, they sing Michael Jackson better than Michael Jackson. Do not speak a lick of English, but can really sing the songs and karaoke. So keep singing in your native tongue. Don't worry about that. So
I could hear you. Yeah.
You play an instrument?
Do I play an instrument? No, I've always wanted to sing. So for me, I was in a choir as a child, and singing is a way of releasing stress. And I even teach my kids, my kids play instruments, but sometimes we do karaoke nights, and I find that very healing as well. I sing in the car. I mean, I'm kind of that person. But I also dance. So during lockdown, and you'd think every Egyptian woman would know how to belly dance. However, I know very basic things. I took up belly dancing classes online when we were in lockdown with a beautiful lady here in Melbourne. And that was lots of fun. So I do a lot of creative things to basically ignite that fire, because we really all need to do what we love to be happy.
And we still need to be exotic for our man. You know, these women, they don't know how to do it. You got to keep doing it, girl. You can't lay up there like lunch meat. You have to put yourself together. You have to redesign your life.
Yes, so now, definitely.
How have you been able to help some of your clients that have really suffered now that they're, you know, stay-at-home moms and they're homeschooling? you know, they're redesigning. I know I went through this whole thing, not only just, you know, helping my neighbor's school or kid, but beyond that, purging, wanting to throw everything away, you know, clothes, books, all this kind of stuff. How do you help a person that's in so much turmoil? Where do they begin?
So we have in Australia something called, you know, like a wardrobe makeover, which is also probably in the US. It's not that I wanted to mention. I wanted to mention something else, but wardrobe makeover is where you go through your wardrobe and basically cull the things that you don't need. And some of it would go to charity. Some of it you might want to hand over to some of other friends or whatever it is that you want to do. But there's a professional organizer that can come in and actually also help you reorganize things. I'm not a professional organizer, but I come in the middle. Like, I'd work with a professional organizer. So if someone's going through this whole life makeover and they basically even want to start, they want to have their own home office, because, you know, all this COVID came with the fact that we need home offices. And so we'll figure out a way to make a home office work so I can redesign a space with the client and make that space work for her and for her needs. That's one area I help with, but the other area would be her image, because, you know, our image online is as important as our image offline. And because a lot of people have been on more online than offline, then, you know, they might need a photo if they're starting a new business from home, or if they just want to upgrade their profiles, you know, so they might need a photo shoot. And so I work with makeup artists and photographers to create that as well.
So you do everything. So you do everything from soup to nuts.
Yeah, start to end. I love that concept.
That's really, really powerful. You know, but a person also has to be open and willing to change. So many people are afraid of change. How do you encourage people to step out of their comfort zone?
Well, I think someone who needs to change or wants to change has to have the will to change. For example, like, you know, yes, people come to me if they're scared. I mean, they want to change, but they're too scared, but they have the intention of change. If they don't have the intention, no matter what you do, they're not going to change, because it has to come from you. So I want to change. I want to be a mother. That's part of change. What are you going to do to be a mother? You need to take the first step to become a mother. Research, if you're too scared, just start reading books about motherhood, whatever it is that you need to do. You want to be a business owner, start researching, start talking to friends who are business owners. So it's basically having the intention. I do not work with people who do not have the intention to change, meaning they still haven't got there, as in, you know, there's no will. If you have no will, there's no way.
Right. They're still stuck.
Yes.
And it's fear, though. You know, it's a lot going on right now in the world. And they say, wow, you know, COVID made everybody just stop. During this whole intermission, as I call it, what have you learned about yourself?
Oh, so much. I learned that I love people so much. It is so, it was very hard for me. I'm not going to lie, you know, like going from events and meeting people all the time to all of a sudden being at home. And yes, I had my kids and partner, but you know, you get, you after a while, you're like, I've had enough of you guys.
Right, right, right.
And so that was really difficult. I learned that I am very creative. I'm persistent. I've always, you know, like I've always known I'm creative, but I found ways for the family to do different things. I tried different things myself to help me get through that stage, as well as I kept pushing to get through to the end. I meditated, I took up yoga. I mean, I love yoga, but I stopped doing it. So I rediscovered things that I enjoyed and I started doing it again. And also teaching my kids to also utilize their time, because they were also studying from home. And so I also cooked a lot, and my daughter cooked a lot. We baked, cooked. The kitchen became a restaurant, which was
and you know what, and it was good, it was great, because so many parents didn't really realize, and that I'm not speaking to you, but I'm just saying in general, the little person that they had living in the house, because they don't see them 8 hours 10 hours during the day between school and activities and all this. What it taught me was really about resilience, about how to fight, how to love and honor, how to respect, and how to be hella patient.
Yes, definitely.
Because it's been a lot of, you know, and it's not just the COVID. I mean, here in the United States, you know, we were topsy-turvy. We still haven't quite leveled out yet. But it also rippled. That was a ripple effect because they look to Americans as a standard, you know, as a standard of excellence, as a standard of democracy. And then they just seen all that go out the window. So when you talk to your children about the world today, choices and options and all the life experience that you've had, you know, living in Cairo and traveling, all that, what are some of the things that you really want to instill in them as human beings?
Self-confidence, knowing that they can do anything they set their mind to do. I believe life skills are as important as school skills, like what the school teaches you. It's not just about study. It's about actually knowing how to do stuff, being self-reliant. So my son now cooks. And, you know, we come from a culture where the man hardly does anything. And that was an older generation, like, you know, now it's all changing. So I'm teaching my son the same skills I'm teaching my daughter, because I want them both to be self-reliant. Whether I'm around or not around, they know how to look after themselves. They know how to keep going for what they believe in. And if something doesn't sit right with them, they know how to let it go.
Well, girl, you are teaching them everything. You are teaching them to live by design, okay? You are not just talking the talk, but you are actually walking the walk. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you if they want to do a little bit more deep dive. They want to get some more information. I mean, you've got so much going on. I just hope that you come back and keep us abreast of what's going on. And we have to swap some jewelry.
Yes, definitely. I have to send you some. So I'm contactable on info@newlifebydesign.com.au. So the website is newlifebydesign.com.au. I am Marwa Rida. So you can find me on Instagram under Marwa Rida Design, if you like, and Marwa Rida on Facebook and on LinkedIn. But the business is called New Life by Design. So I look forward to meeting a lot of your brainers.
That's right. But let me ask a question. So, because I still wasn't clear, and we didn't talk about this in the green room. Yes. When I see your post in Facebook, I've seen a lot of clothes and shoes. Is that where people are recycling and repurposing things that they found, redesigning a part of their wardrobe? Is that what you're keeping there as well?
So what I did recently, and that's the post you're talking about, is basically I donated a lot of things, and some people also donate things to me.
Because I was looking at that stuff and I said, that's some pretty boss looking stuff. So that was your stuff, huh?
Some of it. But the idea is that, you know, also we have to look after the planet. So a lot of people have a lot of things in their wardrobe that they don't use. So I'm actually taking that to help other women who are actually going out of DV, because this was one of the events I ran. It's not my event, but it was someone's event. And I basically restyled them with what I had, and I made it work. I only had 3 size clothing, and, you know, I had all these different ladies I'd never met. So I created this pop-up store, and we basically made it work, and the women felt fabulous, and I absolutely loved that they felt fabulous and tried something out of their comfort zone in regards to their style.
Well, I can imagine. Well, you are just so lovely, and I've enjoyed this so much. We've had a great conversation, a lot of life lessons to redesign your life, brains. We have to do it. Change is a constant. It's inevitable. So why fight it? You know, you don't just have to go in 110%, but at least stick your toe in the water, right?
Definitely.
Thank you so much, Marwa. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much, April. Thanks. Okay. That was fabulous.
All right. Bye, brains. Oh, we got to say goodbye.
Ooh, do you want me to get the thing? Oh, hold on.
Ooh, that's cute. I like
it. I have so many things for you. Here you go.
Where you go? No.
This one.
I can't listen to this. Okay, hold on just a second. Here we go. Cute. Okay.